My name is Sean. I am one of the co-lead pastors here. I suppose that I am the one with more hair. I don't know if that makes me good looking or not, but you know, there we go. And I'm so glad that you've joined us, whether you're here in person or if you're joining us online. Happy Easter, and thank you for joining us and being a part of our community, our family of faith this morning. Now, we're going to get back to our celebration of Jesus' resurrection in just a little while, and later this morning, we're going to be taking communion. So again, if you're watching online, grab something around home to prepare yourself for that celebration at the end of our service. But I'll get back to that in just a little while. For now, I'm wondering if you've ever felt hopeless. Maybe you're the person who is just hopelessly bad at family games night. You've never settled Catan. Or you inevitably have a mitt full of cards when someone shouts Uno. Maybe you're a Toronto Maple Leafs. See, you laugh because you know where I'm going with this. Or a Blue Jays. It's been 30 years. A Blue Jays fan. And you're wondering when will that next championship come? Maybe your job feels hopeless. You can't seem to reach the next level. You've got a difficult boss or coworkers, or maybe just the motivation is gone. Or maybe it's much more serious. You're facing a tough diagnosis from the doctor. You're caring for the family member who is sick. Or you've experienced the loss of a loved one. And in the midst of that, you might be wondering, God, have you abandoned me? Do you care? Before we go any further, let me tell you with certainty today that God does indeed love you and he cares for you. If you were with us on Friday, we were reminded that the deep love of God the Father carried Jesus, his son, all the way to the cross where he died for us. And if you're feeling that way today, I want to remind you that Paul, when he was teaching folks in Athens who were desperately searching for God, he said, God is not far away from any one of us. That his purpose was that we would seek him and actually find him. God is near and God can be found. And that's a promise of Scripture that we can hold on to today, no matter what you might be going through. In our passage from the book of Romans today, we're going to talk about Abraham's story, which we can find back in the book of Genesis. Abraham's story was one that was certainly looking helpless or hopeless. God had made a promise to Abraham that he would be a great nation, meaning he would have a vast family tree. But for the next 25 years, that promise wasn't shaping up. Not even a single child for Abraham. Yet God fulfills the promise. And a hopeless situation is turned around. And what is most remarkable, what is characterized throughout the rest of the scriptures, is how Abraham showed faith in and through this situation. Now, if you have your Bible or your Bible app handy, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 4. We're going to begin reading there at verse 16 in just a moment. But first, just while you're finding your place, we've jumped forward slightly in our reading and our teaching of Romans between what Jeff shared with you on Good Friday and what we'll be covering today. So let me just quickly fill in the details before we move on. Jeff shared the good news of Good Friday from Romans, that we are made right with God when we believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. That Christ died for sinners, which, make no mistake, is every single one of us, so that we could be made right, we could be justified when we believe in Jesus. And after that, Paul begins to remind his Roman readers that this righteousness has nothing to do with keeping the Jewish law, and that the Jews and the Gentiles are equal, that there is one God who justifies all. In the beginning of chapter 4, Paul brings Abraham into the story. And his most important point is that Abraham was counted as righteous before he was circumcised, meaning that it wasn't because of any law or any Jewish regulation, but simply because he trusted in God in faith. God's covenant promise to Abraham was based on this faith and nothing else. If you missed Greg's message from Palm Sunday, I'd recommend you go back and check that one out because we covered much of this story about the Jews and the Gentiles and the circumcision of our hearts, which is what God truly desires from us. But now, if you've found your place, let's jump into our text today. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, starting at verse 16. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Let's just pause for a moment and pray. Well, Lord, would you open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit? As these scriptures have been read, and as your word is proclaimed, would we hear with joy what you are saying to us today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so thankful for the way that this passage of scripture reminds us of what we're celebrating today. That Jesus died for our sins and was raised to life to make us right with God. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, you fell asleep. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's good news. And friends, if you remember only one thing today, I want you to hear this. Jesus rising from the grave on Easter brings hope to even the most hopeless situation. Now, we're going to talk more about Abraham in just a moment, but first, can I mention how I just love the beginning of verse 18 in this passage? Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. If you've been in or you are in what feels like a hopeless situation today, I want to remind you again that you are not without hope. You can keep hoping like Abraham because God loves us and he cares for us. And how do we know this? God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, raising him again to new life, conquering the power of sin. Sin, shame, separation, sin, that power that we've been talking about throughout this entire message series. And the consequences of that sin are forever defeated. And that's why Jesus rising from the grave on Easter brings hope to even the most hopeless situation. But the question I think that we have and that our world today has, the thing we need an answer for is this: how does Jesus bring hope to our lives? The first way that we can answer this question is this: believing in Jesus brings hope to our lives because we receive his promise. There's one key thing that is going to activate this hope in our lives. It's a word that we see five times in this passage: believe. The key to our whole understanding of hope is that we believe in Jesus. Let's go back to our passage today and see how this is true. In verse 16, we're told that faith is what unlocks the promise of God for Abraham and for us. And that it's a free gift. There's nothing you can do to receive God's gift of grace except believe. This says it's not because we follow the law. There's no religiousness or ritual that you can achieve this within your life. You can't be holy enough. You can't do it. The only way we have access to God's promise is if we have faith, if we believe, just like Abraham. Now, why is Paul connecting the good news of Jesus back to Abraham anyways? What is this promise? Remember, Abraham was the founder of the Jewish nation. If you said Abraham was your father, it was just like saying, I'm Jewish. I am one of God's chosen people. But what's really amazing in this passage is Paul is saying that Abraham is the father of all who believe. That when we believe, it doesn't mean we're Jewish, but it does make us included in God's chosen people. And that means we get what was promised to Abraham and God's chosen people. Well, what was that exactly? I hope it was like a sports car and a big house or something. Sorry, wrong church today, not that one. If we go back to the book of Genesis, we can see that, yes, Abraham was promised these many descendants and also some land, which at that time was not that great. But in Genesis 17, we can really see the big picture of what God was working towards here. If we read that, it says, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. The true covenant promise of God to Abraham and to God's chosen people was that he would reconcile them to him. He would be their God, which implies that we have peace with God, a rightness with him. And the promise of land really means a place where they could be with God, having full access to his presence. The problem is that for about the next 2,000 years, sin continued to stand in the way of that. And that's why we need Jesus. Jesus has gone to the cross and risen from the grave to destroy sin's power. And now the promise of God to humanity through Abraham is a living reality for everyone who believes in him. Because Jesus is alive. Jesus lives. So Paul has this very gospel-centric way of saying this at the end of verse 17 in our passage. Says there, this happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Paul is starting to connect the dots when he says the God who brings the dead back to life. And especially on Easter Sunday, we're probably all kind of connecting the dots too. We've got this, right? But then he adds this, that this is the God who creates new things out of nothing. Well, what is it? What has God brought to existence that didn't exist? Humans? Yeah. Abraham's son Isaac? Yep. Sunday school answer? Jesus, through his miraculous virgin birth? Yes, yes. But let's think bigger about this. God is creating something that couldn't possibly exist without his working. God is bringing godliness where there was godlessness, holiness where there was unholiness, righteousness where there was unrighteousness. This is talking about us. Through our belief in God, we are brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. We're made new, and our hopeless situation is made hopeful. The key is faith, believing in Jesus, the one who is risen from the dead. And so the best thing that you could possibly do today is to put your trust in Jesus. To begin living the greatest adventure now by following Jesus with your whole life. And I don't want to miss an opportunity to extend this invitation to you, especially on Easter Sunday. If that's you, if you're sensing even now that there's this God-shaped hole in your heart and that you can't do it on your own, then the best thing that you can do right now is to place your trust in Jesus. Would you surrender your control and submit to Jesus as Lord of your life and allow him to lead you into faithful obedience? If that's you, I'm going to say a prayer in just a moment. I'm going to ask you simply to repeat words after me. And I'm going to invite each of us to say this prayer, to repeat this after me, because even if you've said it before, you have no idea who may be near you, a neighbor that you may be encouraging to take a step of faith today. So let's pray. And would you repeat this after me? Lord, I admit that I've done things that are wrong. Thank you that you've died to take away all of my sins. Please forgive me. I receive your forgiveness now. I declare that I want to live for you for the rest of my life. Come and fill my life with your Holy Spirit. I now depend completely on you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer in faith today, it means you are part of God's family. You will certainly receive God's promise of a peace and a rightness with God. You have full access to his presence for now and for all time. Not only that, but God is making you a new creation. He's bringing something from nothing. I'm not making this up. It's all right here in our passage today. And if you ask me, that's the best news of Easter. So I pray this brings you tremendous hope, because believing in Jesus brings hope to even the most hopeless situation. It may be that today you prayed that prayer for the very first time, or it may be today that you've wanted to recommit your life following wholeheartedly after Jesus. Whichever it is, part of coming to faith in God is sharing your experience with others. So I'd ask, would you please let us know? I've got a staff tag on. All of our staff are wearing these today. Would you let somebody know? You can connect with one of them after the service, or if you're watching online, you can get in touch with us through our website. If you scroll down a little bit, you can click on the button that says communication card, and we'll get back in touch with you there. Either way, we just want to know that you've made this decision so we can encourage you, we can pray with you, and help you in your next steps in following after Jesus. Now, moving on, I wonder if there's just one more way that Jesus brings hope to our lives. If we continue to examine our passage, we can see that believing in Jesus brings hope to our lives because we grow strong in faith and we bring glory to God. Let's look again at these last few verses, starting at verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing in God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. You know, for Abraham, so much of the promise that God made to him rested in his future. He had to wait those 25 years to begin to even see the start of this promise unfolding. But it says he never wavered in believing God's promise, because he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. For us too, we can trust that our future is secure. Our hopeless situation is made hopeful because God keeps his promises. We will be accepted as right on the day of God's future judgment. That's what it means here in verse 24. God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. But sometimes we think that that is only talking about the future. And we get a little lost, a little mixed up, waiting. The salvation is off in the distance somewhere. But the truth is that God counts us as righteous now, from the moment we put our faith in him. The whole point of us putting our trust in God can't just be for our future, that when we die, we go to heaven. That's wonderful. But if God counts us as righteous now, then God is bringing hope and purpose to our lives right now, today. And that's why one of the most important parts in this passage that we could easily miss is this last part of verse 20. In fact, his faith grew stronger, And in this, he brought glory to God. While Abraham was still waiting for that promise to be fulfilled, his faith grew stronger and he brought glory to God. And that's the call to all of us today. Whether you just placed your faith in Jesus a moment ago or whether you did this many years ago, our job is to grow in faith and to bring glory to God. So how can we do this? Really quickly, I want to offer you three ways to do this. Here they are. Grow in the knowledge of God, grow in the community of God, and grow in the love of others. This is another way of saying what we've been talking about as our priorities here at WMB, to know the truth, to be the church, and to love the least. The first thing that we can do is grow in our knowledge of God, and please don't confuse this with only head knowledge. We're talking about our heart, our mind, our soul, our whole life knowledge of God here. And of course, we can read God's word, the Bible, that's excellent. But we must also grow in our knowledge of God by spending time with him, communicating with God, speaking and listening. We even have a really fancy name for that. It's prayer. Like any relationship, it takes some effort to get to know the other person. But let me remind you, God wants us to know him. And this is how God reveals himself to us. And it will lead to life-changing transformation if we allow him to take control. And if we submit to him in obedience. Second, God has made us to be in community with other believers, pointing our lives together towards Jesus. That looks like encouraging one another and caring for one another, serving one another by sharing the gifts that God has given each and every one of us. And if you're unsure what those gifts are, Pastor Garrett's gonna be running a course on that coming up in the next few weeks. I encourage you to sign up for that. Finally, we love others. We're sent people. We're sent to be a blessing to others, to be and to reveal God's goodness in this world, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Wherever God leads us, we're looking for ways to partner with him in drawing people to Jesus through our tangible demonstration of his love and his truth. All of this is good, and all of it brings hope to our lives. And it's not only because we grow strong in faith, but it's also because we bring glory to God. When we live faithfully following Jesus, our bold, unwavering, and our hope-filled witness makes God known and makes God greater in our world today. As we close today, I want to draw us back to the Easter story that these children read for us from Matthew's gospel. I'm sure that these women were feeling hopeless. Jesus is dead. The stone is placed firmly in front of the tomb. Everything that they thought that Jesus had spoken about and promised was gone, or best on hold until God sends someone else. But then they found the empty tomb, and the angel reminded them of God's promise that Jesus would die, yes, but also that he would rise again, just like he said. And if we jump over to Luke's version of this story, I love this. It says there, then they remembered that he had said this. Then they remembered. They understand. They get it. And they get it in a very new way, a way that's so much deeper and so real. Suddenly, a hopeless situation is made hopeful because Jesus rising from the grave on Easter brings hope to even the most hopeless situation. And then here, as they look on the empty tomb, they're filled with great joy. I pray today that you're filled with great joy because you're reminded of his promise for you. And I pray it brings you joy, but I pray it brings you great hope. Hope because you're reminded that you can receive the promise of God by believing in Jesus who rose again. Hope because you can grow strong in faith and bring glory to God in your life by following after him. And so my prayer today is that we would be people of the resurrection. People so filled with the hope of the good news of the risen Jesus that we would, just like these women, run to show and tell others just what it is that God has done. People so filled with the hope and the good news of the risen Jesus that we would, just like Abraham, never waver in our faith, being fully convicted that God is able to do whatever he promises. For now, as we move into a time of participating in communion, I would just encourage us to each spend some time focusing on Jesus, repenting of our sinful ways, our self-centered thinking, reconciling ourselves to God and to others, and returning again to the hope that we have in the risen Jesus.